unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates.
Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach, because it's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
He and I are sitting downtown in the Deer District, kicking off the day, full day of live broadcasting from Milwaukee across from the Fiserv because of the, what's happening tonight?
The Bead and Button Show, I think it
the
is.
The Bead and Button Show, yes. The Bead and Button Show, if you missed that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. It's the debate.
The GOP debate, sorry. Yeah. Also, zero deer. There's zero deer.
Highly disappointed. I've seen more deer at AmFam Field than I have in the Deer District.
Zero to ten.
And then, of course, we have Jane Matinair in the studio in Waukesha, and our guest. We're so excited to have him back.
I'm so excited.
Judge Derek Mosley, former Milwaukee Municipal Court judge, director of Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy, Research, and Civic Education, and our friend. How are you, Derek?
I am fantastic. Good morning, still almost afternoon, but good morning. And welcome to Milwaukee.
I know. Seriously. Yeah. We're usually in Waukesha. So are you coming down for the event tonight?
We are not. They're actually, people are coming to us.
Okay.
So, because we're just right outside that little cone of security. And so people are coming to us for interviews and things of that nature.
Oh, that's exciting. So you guys have a panel coming like tonight or a talk back?
No, so we have some media here because we do the Marquette poll. And so,
yep, of course.
People are coming to talk to Charles Franklin, who runs our poll here at the Lubar. And we're just getting some sound bites from people who come in for future programming for next year. When the convention is here,
the big boy.
Yes.
This is the warm up.
Yeah,
next year is the big boy.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And then actually, Charles Franklin's gonna at some point we're gonna switch places. He'll come down here. He's gonna be on our pregame from six at some. I forgot when exactly he's on between 6 and 8, but he's stopping by at some point.
Somewhere.
Yeah. So you guys broadcasting all day?
We're broadcasting all day from Whitetail.
Wow.
So yeah, so we have another hour of this show and then we're handing the baton off. But yeah, so we are we're putting our engineers to the test as far as doing this remotely.
Yes.
But we're so excited I'm excited because we've talked about it before. I think the last time you were on was during Black History Month, and one of the things that you I would say in your social media presence people follow you for is you do a daily, really interesting, fascinating post about less known Black history. And the reason why I asked you to come on today is because of an exchange that I actually asked you. I was like, would it just be easier for you to come on than to try to have me talk about this? Because something that happened at the State Fair that I actually only even heard about through your social media post about it. And I thought it brought up an interesting question about how do we talk about these things, and what is the expectation of how much people are supposed to know? And so I'll kind of give a background of what happened. So there was at the State Fair, there was a competition for cows, as there is for farm animals, and one of the cows that won, that came from Dodge County, the cow's name was Jigaboo, and it took not the judges, mm-mm, not the owner of the cow, but a random person walking through the stables, seeing what the cow's name was, to be like, excuse me, wait a minute. And you know,
a white man.
Yeah. And it was what's so fascinating to me is that I took your post because basically your take on it was, this is why we need to teach history.
Right.
And I posted it on my TikTok. And what was fascinating to me is the disparate comments of a lot, like half the people saying, how could they not know what that word means? Mm-hmm. And the other half saying, I've literally never heard that word before.
That's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
It sounds like a weird reference, though. The only reason why I know that word is the first Police Academy movie.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
And so when people are like, I've never heard that word, I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I know from Police Academy. I'm not some scholar.
Go ahead, Derek.
There's a couple things about what you just said. So, one, I'll just go to the obvious. It's a word that it's kind of hard just to come up with, right? You're just kind of like, oh, jigaboo, right? Like, I just came up with this word. And like, well, no, you didn't. But, I mean, it's a weird conglomeration of letters and words. But, so, just think of this. To get into that competition, you have to fill out an application. And on the application, you put not just your name as the owner, but also the animal's name. And you send it in. I expect that it's reviewed by a panel that says, oh, they qualify, they qualify. So someone else reads it, then sends back to you, you're in, right? Then the judges get a list of all the names of the animals and owners. So they see it. And then you go through this whole competition, and then a person comes out and says, and the winner is Jigaboo. And, yeah. And this whole crowd of people are there.
And then they clap.
And they all start clapping, right? I mean, there's so many levels to this that's why I said it's ridiculous, because now we live in this environment where, I mean, in the past, we used to, you know, suppress and ignore Black history. Now there's this actual, we're trying to get rid of it completely, right? They don't want to teach it. They want to make it AP classes. They don't do any of that. And this is the classic example why we need to teach these stories.
And I think, does it surprise you when I say how many people would, like, at least what they claim, is like, I've never heard that word before. And so is it something, I mean, it's, because I do think it's a step below, obviously, a lot of other racial slurs, specifically one in particular, that I feel like everyone does know. But, like, is that part of what the curriculum should be? It's just like, these are words that, like, the words that have more meaning than maybe you thought they were, or yeah, they had.
You know, I think Wisconsin's in an interesting place, because if you live, you know, north of, I don't know where you want to say, north of Oshkosh, you know, or north of Fond du Lac, you don't have a large population of people of color there anyway.
Yeah.
So you may never hear these stories. It's not taught in curriculums in schools. And so I get it. As opposed to like Chicago or down south, for that matter, mm-hmm. where they do acknowledge that history. But I think it's important that we do talk about it for the reasons. I mean, so this quote's always, you know, attributed to Winston Churchill, but it really isn't. It's actually a Spanish philosopher. But if you don't teach history, you're doomed to repeat it, right?
Yeah.
And this is a classic example of that. I mean, I honestly believe the people who say to me that they had no idea that this was a derogatory word. I get it.
The thing. It's like, I believe them too, because it's like, what? Because I have to be totally honest, I feel like that was one of those words that was like in the back of my brain. I was like, I knew there was something there, but I didn't know what it came from. I didn't know the history of it. I just kind of knew it was something that exists, because like, I didn't know from Police Cat, you know. And like, and I also think it's been interesting seeing the age of someone of who knows it, seeing how much, how, where they've been as far as like you said, where they grew up and like their access to it. And so I think like, the ongoing conversations, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because as an opportunity for a show that is statewide, let's talk about the word. Let's talk about the history behind some of these words. And so I think, what do you think that means as far as just the importance of continuing to, like, this being a sign that this is why we have to teach these things?
Oh, I think I told you when we first talked about this when I was on the show about Black history, I got on this journey myself. Because my mom, who grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, used to tell me this story about these race riots, this race massacre, basically, that happened in Tulsa. And I remember going to my teacher in school and saying, how can we never learn about the Tulsa massacre? And my teacher said to me, it didn't exist. It never happened. They had never learned it. And that's how I got on this journey, because my mom was like, oh, yeah, it happened. And so I started doing my own research to find things. But that's the importance of teaching this type of history. And we see a lot of it right now, Kristen. Like, for instance, you know, that's why you have crazy stories of candidates saying that Black people benefited from slavery, right? No one would have ever thought of saying that, but we don't teach the history. Like, we taught them how to farm. No, actually, you picked Western Africa because that's where the farmers were, right? They were farmers already. And so It's just this craziness. What's the one just recently, a couple weeks ago, one of the candidates said, well, Juneteenth is just a secondary. It's not even a real holiday, right? And so you've offended a number of people because July 4th for a number of black people had no difference in their standing, right? Mm-hmm. My ancestors were not free on July 4th, 1776, yep. Right? They were doing the same thing they've been doing since 1619. And so Juneteenth should be part of our curriculum as a national holiday for everybody for that reason alone, right? All of our citizens now were part of this country that we say are the home of the free and the brave.
And so as we have conversations, because there's one part that it's like, all right, what do we put in our schools? Mm-hmm. But I also think there's an opportunity of what do we do continuously as adults to continue to learn these things that maybe don't make it into school. And I think that's one of the things, like with your posts, that you do such a great job of. But I guess what other, I don't know if it's resources, but as far as like the burden on the individual versus the responsibility yeah. of schools versus the responsibility of us as a society in general of like teaching these things. Because I think a big thing we often come back to is it's, and that's why I asked you if you wanted to come on the show, because it is, like, it's not your responsibility to teach me. It's my responsibility right. to learn.
Right, right. No, absolutely. And I have no problem teaching because I think together we learn from each other. But we could do a number of steps to stop. I just can't think of another group of people that the worst time in their history in our country, and we, like, use them for craziness. Like, yeah. So I use Aunt Jemima all the time. Like, Aunt Jemima literally is dressed like a house slave. I mean, on the box, she used to have the rag on her head, the whole works, right? And when you see the first ads about her, she's speaking in broken English. I mean, it's just so over the top, right? And then we talk about, like, for instance, like if you got a letter in the mail from your friend that says, hey, guess what? Kristen and Greg, I want you to come to my wedding. I'm getting married in Germany at Dachau concentration camp, right? You would be like, what?
Big yikes.
Yeah,
big yikes.
Right?
Where do I send a present?
Right? Right? But 6,000 weddings in yeah. America are held at plantations.
Absolutely.
People were forced to work, enslaved, castrated, raped, killed. And we're leaning, brides leaning on slave cabins. It's crazy.
It's crazy. We got to take a break, but Derek Mosley is going to be here when we come back to continue this conversation. If you have any questions, you can text them in 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Smiling faces sometimes, they don't tell the truth.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach, down in the Deer District. Jane Vetnair is in the studio, and we are talking to our friend Derek Mosley, who is a former Milwaukee Municipal Court judge and is now the director of Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy, Research, and Civic Education. And he is an educator. I mean, I guess that's not always, I don't know if you consider yourself as that one of your titles, but you too, I certainly learn a lot from
yeah.
you. And we have him on today because there was an incident that happened at the state fair this past, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, are we out from the state
yeah,
fair?
Yeah, my gosh.
Where a cow, an award-winning cow, got through all of the awards and was knighted, or whatever the award was. And
you're eating some royal burgers right here.
And had a racial slur as its name, and its name was Jigaboo. And I was interested in this because after I had made a video about it, the divide of some people saying, how could you not, how could they not know? And how many people also said, I've never heard this word before. And it points to our lack of education around a lot of this stuff. And so as someone who focuses on this a lot, we're so happy to be able to have you on here today, Derek.
I'm excited. It was really funny because when I first saw this story, because someone had sent me the picture, and they said, can you believe this? And I was just, you know, I've been going through this thing because I do go across the country talking about unconscious bias and about black history. And I tell by why it's so important. And so people send me stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just said, you know, I was so upset because of what's going on in the country with Black history. So I just typed this post, you know. It was just like two sentences. It really wasn't that substantial, but I just wanted to get my point across. And it, people just started... I started getting stuff, but I didn't get a lot of the, I never heard the word before. I think people were scared just because a lot of people of color responded, right, to the post. And so I'm sure someone didn't want to say, I've never heard the word before, because, you know, being scared that they would be attacked or something like that. But when but you I told also, me that, I'm not surprised.
But I also think, and this gets into the nuances of social media and followings and stuff, but I would imagine as a white woman, I may have more white people who follow me and like, and how they respond to me talking about it versus people who follow you and people talk to you about it. And that's why I was like, let's just have you on the show and let's talk about it. And I think that's actually interesting as far as what you just said, as far as you travel the country talking about this. How much have you traveled through Wisconsin? Like, how much have you gone further north to talk about these things?
Everywhere. In fact, Ashland County had me up there to speak. I spoke there. Ashland, Douglas, Bayfield, La Crosse County. Oh, I've been everywhere. Now I'm hitting the other side of the state because I'm heading up to Minocqua in a couple of weeks this week.
Okay.
There. I think people want to learn about it. So I've gone all over to talk about it.
And what have the how much do the conversations change or how different are they depending on where you are in the state?
Yeah, so I guess it's, you know, I started this journey. I was surprised of just minor things. So I would mention like Harriet Tubman, and I just had this assumption that everybody knew who Harriet Tubman was, right? And I would be talking, and someone raised a hand like, "Who's Harriet Tubman?" And I wasn't quite sure how to react. At first, I thought they were kind of punking me, maybe. I was like, and then I was like, oh, maybe they don't know. And so I've had to go back and even on my Black History post, even take it back farther than I thought I had to, because I thought some things were just known. I mean, sure, there's things about Harriet Tubman that people don't know, but Harriet Tubman,
because wasn't she going to be on the $20 bill at one point? Wasn't that a conversation?
Yeah, absolutely,
that was happening, and then.
But I guess maybe not everyone knows who Andrew Jackson is, depending on who you talk to.
Well, read about Andrew Jackson. get to know Andy.
but there's like I just because I brought up Harriet Tubman. One of my favorite facts about Harriet Tubman is that she lived at the same time as Ronald Reagan, which I just think is the craziest thing ever, right? Because we always talk about how far history was. But now you have this woman who was enslaved in the 1800s, and her and Ronald Reagan, you know, lived at the same time. It's there's so much that we need to talk about. And what's so frustrating about us as a country is that none of us, unless you're First Nation or Indigenous, you came from someplace else. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And
instead of us embracing that and saying, you know, hey, we've come from different places. Let's take our culture and our, and we try to do it here in Milwaukee, you know, with the ethnic festivals, so you can embrace your, you know, immerse yourself in food, culture, dance, and stuff like that. But we could do a better job of it, and we definitely have to educate better.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. So is there anything coming up at the Lubar Center that people should know about?
Absolutely. So September 12th, we have I'm hosting what we call our Get to Know series, where I introduce you to new people in the community. But the person I'm introducing is my former boss, Judge Mary Trigiano, because she is now working here at Marquette Law School of the Andrew Center. She does restorative justice. So I'm going to introduce her to the community on September 12th at 12:15. On the 18th is our Latino Heritage Dinner that we have, where we bring in people from, we ask you to come in. Our motto is meet someone, learn something, try everything. So I have five chefs that are going to introduce cuisine from Puerto Rican, Cuban, Spanish, Venezuelan, Salvadoran. The chefs will tell you the history of that food and why we eat it here in America. And then you get to meet people and learn something about the culture. That's on the 18th. All these you have to register for at Marquette Law School under the Lubar Center, community part, Lubar Center. And we'd love to see you at those events. And then
so those are not sold out yet?
Oh, they're not sold out yet.
Okay, because last time, the Asian American history, I think, sold out immediately. Black history sold out immediately. And so those ones are still available.
Yes, because we see 250, and right now we're about 185.
All right. Well,
we just posted
going
it
fast.
Days ago. Yeah, we posted it 2 days ago. So.
My All gosh. Right. Well, maybe that's cutting it close to my due date, but maybe I'll stop by.
All right. Well, in the house, we'll take care of you.
Perfect, Derek Mosley. It's always such a joy to have you on the show.
Kristen, Greg, love you. Jane, love you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon, and we're going to take another break. And when we come back, Todd Elba is going to join us, and we're going to play a little bit of a game of the most likely edition, GOP edition. We'll give some awards away. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach here. And now we have Todd Elba here. Hello, Todd.
Hello, Kristen. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Todd.
And then we got Jane and Matt Nair on the board.
Jane, how
in
the heck are
studio.
You? Good to see you.
We are down live in the Deer District at Whitetail. Todd Elba, are you excited for today?
I am. You know, it's... You can take the politician out of the guy, but you can't take the guy out of the politician or something like that. I don't know. The short answer is I'm excited because I just like democracy in action. And whether or not you're voting for one of these people on the stage tonight or whether you're voting for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, this is democracy, and it's a heck of a lot better than the alternative.
Fair.
Fair.
Fair point.
It's funny because I last night was like, I think I tweeted out kind of promoting that we were doing this and said, it's a big day for Milwaukee. It's a big day for Wisconsin. And there's still a lot of people who are not happy that the RNC is here, that the debate is here. And I think they are boycotting it in general as far as not watching or not caring. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like, this is a big deal for Milwaukee and Wisconsin, whether you like it or not, as far as like, this is national airtime as far as people, like footage of our city, people coming in, visitors coming in, every major news network talking about Milwaukee and like us, you know, since we won, the Bucks won the championship, like that's the last time that we kind of got this much attention, especially after we got, you know, the rug pulled out on our ass after one of the DNC was supposed to be here. So
exactly.
I think there's energy and I think it's, you know,
just saw a parade.
As long as everything stays calm.
Yeah. Right.
Because we just who was I was getting ready for the to come back from the break, but who just marched behind us?
It looked like youngsters, a bunch of men, Trump 2024 wearing their red hats, and then one was carrying a gigantic Ron DeSantis face with a mask over it, and I was just chanting, "My dad votes this way, so I vote this way too."
Well, do you have any predictions for tonight, Todd?
Brigham and Six debates. Brigham and Six.
Brigham and Six. How many gift cards do you think he's handing out? Or is that deal done now?
I think it's, he made it. Apparently it worked. He's here. I think it's going to be really interesting. I was on Mino and the mayor this morning up at Green Bay and then Kreitlow, and now I'm here with you guys. So to me, not having Trump here gives the Republicans, whether you're former or against him, it gives them a chance to put up or shut up. Because how long we've been hearing, look, Trump's done. We're past him. We're past Trumpism. This is a different Republican Party. Okay, well, prove it.
Yep.
You know, let's hear what your ideas are tonight. Let's not talk about Donald Trump. Let's talk about their ideas. And let's share with the people of Wisconsin and the people of America what they're really about. I'm not particularly optimistic they'll do that, but you know what? Let's give them the chance.
Absolutely. Well, I thought we actually haven't done this yet. We haven't gone through the eight people who are going to be on stage tonight.
Oh,
and
this
so
is fantastic.
I have, you know, in true As Goes Wisconsin fashion, I have a little blurb about all of them, and then I have a fun fact about each of them.
So
I will go through my blurb. I'll go through my fun fact. You two and Jane can weigh in on your thoughts about that candidate. And at the end of the segment, I want to do your predictions, some predictions as far as the most likely to blank. So we'll get people's votes on that. So first is U.S. Senator Tim Scott, who is known for trying to build bridges. Scott is currently serving as the only black Republican senator and views himself as a first as a biblical leader rather than a Republican or a conservative. He has addressed systemic racism while also previously saying America is not a racist country. Fun fact about him, he would make history as the first unmarried president since James Buchanan in 1857, and the very first president, as far as we know, to have once proclaimed himself unabashedly an adult virgin.
These are what qualify for fun facts, Mike.
Fact.
It is a fun fact.
That is, how is that not a fun fact?
Think about it, Greg. He is the Tim Tebow of tonight's debate. I mean, you know, he's exactly what
Do you mean that in 5 years he's going to be over at the High Life Theater doing, like, praise God festivals and stuff?
Perhaps. I don't know. But it's a shtick. And I'll tell you what, most of the kind of former mainstream Republicans, the ones that are left, the smart money is on him.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That's who they're going with.
Okay.
He seems very nice.
I think the old moderate Republicans, again, for those of them who are still in the closet, they truly think that Scott is the only alternative in that bunch over there.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
So interesting to think of what that group thinks about the next candidate, probably, you know, the front runner after Trump, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The 44-year-old Florida governor polling second to Trump by a long shot. DeSantis is known for the state's skyrocketing economy, his fight with Disney over LGBTQIA+ issues, suggesting black Americans benefited from slavery, being anti-lockdown, and signing a 6-week abortion ban. Fun fact about him, when he was a boy and a teen, other kids called him D. Just D.
Really?
I just want people to call me D, he once explained, because I like that better than my real name.
Well, that's true. I mean, who wants to be like a 13-year-old Ron? Like, Ron, is your book report done? Ron, you got to run the mile now.
But is that better? D, your book report's done?
It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, honestly, that fun fact really feeds into the narrative and the brand that good old DeSantis has built for himself. It's a nothing.
Have we figured out if it's DeSantis or DeSantis?
Oh, he's trying to do it.
He's trying to both, right?
Yeah. I have a friend of mine who has the same last name as him, and he pronounces it DeSantis.
I guess DeSantis.
Yeah. Yeah.
His campaign staff is just trying to keep him away from Saz's steakhouse because they're afraid he'll eat a steak with his hands in public. Good old putting fingers DeSantis.
All right. Next, we have a former South Carolina governor, Nikki Haley. She was the first governor of color, first female governor in 2015. She signed a law removing the Confederate flag from South Carolina's Capitol grounds. She also served as Trump's UN ambassador, but stepped down in 2018. And now can't seem to decide how to talk about the former president. Fun fact about Nikki Haley. She got to change her husband's name from Bill to Michael.
No joke.
You just don't look like a Bill, she told him. And so she started calling him by his middle name. Everyone who knew him before I did knows him as Bill, but everyone who knew him after knows him as Michael.
This is some like that's gaslighting without the weight.
I'm trying to imagine just changing my husband's name. Be like, this is what we're going to call you now.
Like, your name is Michael. That's not it's always been Michael.
What? The interesting
These are
part,
not the droids you're looking for. This is not the name you're looking for.
The interesting part is Robin Voss's first name used to be Bob, and he changed it to Robin.
Is that
it's
true?
Bobbin? Bobbin Voss?
Rock and Bobbin Voss? No, I don't know.
That'd be amazing fun fact.
I only know him as the Popcorn King, folks. That's all I refer to. I give him respect. Yes. All hail the Popcorn King and owner of many properties in Wisconsin.
You changed your husband's name. And not his last name, but his first name.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he do?
And they're not even close.
What did he do?
Bill, and now it's like, we're going to call you Michael.
There was a reason they had to move.
We're going to call you Flash. I'm going to try out a new nickname, Steve.
All right.
All right. So then we have former VP Mike Pence and Trump's rival after the January 6th insurrection. And he's going for his old boss's job. He said Trump should never be president again. When it comes to abortion rights, Pence stands out as the only major candidate in support of a federal ban on abortion at 6 weeks. I have two fun facts for Mike Pence.
Ooh. I have a feeling they're not going to be fun.
They actually are kind of fun.
Okay.
Number one, his family calls him Bubbles.
Because, this is unfair.
As Greg Pence put it.
You can't write
this. Oh, there's a Greg Pence. I feel gross now.
He was chubby and funny.
Good Lord.
Fun fact number two. In law school, as in college and as in high school, he dabbled in cartooning. Quote, "Michael's hilarious," his mother once said.
And his wife or his actual mother?
I don't know. Good question.
Did he dabble in making those cartoons that, like, you're reading the little comics and you're like, oh, what's going on? Oh, no, they want me to convert. Oh, God. I'm going to hell now. Bubbles. Oh, that's
Bubbles. Just... Can you imagine trying to call Mike Pence and that serious face?
Bubbles Pence.
Yeah. Bubbles Pence.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Nice job with this research.
Right. Some of these are really good.
That's some deep research right there.
The next one, the fun fact for Chris Christie, I think there's more that exists, but I ran out of time of finding something more fun than this. But Chris Christie, who played both Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden in Trump's past debate preparation, is now gearing up for what supporters will hope will be a forceful case against the ex-president. While he supported Trump in 2016 and 2020, the former governor of New Jersey has centered his campaign on his opposition to former President Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. So, his fun fact, it's, I guess, you know, New Jersey, it's a little obvious, it's a little on the nose. Apparently, he's attended over 140 Bruce Springsteen concerts since 1975.
And Bruce has been trying to give his money back to him ever since. Because Bruce Springsteen is not a fan. And he's
Bruce Springsteen,
a fan.
Not a Republican.
No. And that always makes me wonder, like, people who are, like, hardcore Republicans who go to Bruce Springsteen shows. I'm like, you realize that, like, this is the, like, he doesn't like your politics at all. And he does not mince words about it either.
I like to meet the tailor that made the pantsuit for Christie to get into when he played Hillary. I mean, you know, I mean.
Now I'm just thinking of the Michael Scott office scene where he's wearing a women's suit.
Right?
Why are you wearing a woman's suit?
You know, not a woman's suit.
You know who's here in town? Sean Spicer. Spicy.
Spicy's here?
Yeah. That's why I was thinking about, you know, on the whole Saturday Night Live sketch and, you know,
boy.
Spicy. Wouldn't it be great if the real Spicy was here?
Yes. All right. And then we got entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy. Technology.
God bless you.
Yeah, right. Technology entrepreneur and political newcomer who is polling at 9% and will be center stage tonight. The former pharma exec and the GOP's breakout candidate, the son of Indian immigrants, he supports restoring, quote, merit for who gets to come into America by, quote, securing the border unapologetically. Talk about closing the door behind you. As the GOP's own Andrew Yang, expect the moderators to try and shake his extreme self-confidence. Fun fact about Vivek Ramaswamy, among his interests, rapping.
Yes, I've seen that, unfortunately.
He mean, like, presents?
Nope. Drop the W.
Darn it.
He used to dress in all black and rap libertarian prose under the name Devek. While at Harvard.
Small D or large?
capital D-A-V-E-K.
Okay.
And so, Vivek Ramaswamy, a.k.a. Devek.
I hate every one of these fun facts.
He's probably the most least qualified person on that stage.
Oh.
Is this the guy that wants to raise the voting age to 25 and then give people a
test?
As
the millennial, as the youngest person on stage.
As a test, and then get rid of birthright citizenship. As you said, Greg, close the door behind him.
Oh my God, it's just hilarious. Like, these.
All right, we got two more. We only got a couple minutes left in this segment. All right, so then we have Doug Burgum.
Yes.
Little known governor of North Dakota is another wild card on the stage who hopes the voters will embrace his combination of business and executive experience as governor. He is perhaps the lowest name recognition out of the eight candidates who will be on stage tonight. But Burgum told Journal Sentinel recently, "I think our strategy has been pretty consistent, which is we just have to tell our story of how we believe that a Burgum presidency would be great for everybody in America." Fun fact, spent some time as a chimney sweep.
I bet he did. He looks a little like Dick Van Dyke.
When Burgum was a
senior. I want to be president of the United States.
When Burgum was a senior at North Dakota State University, he started a chimney sweeping business.
Well, there you go.
There you go. And then finally, qualifying literally at the in the nick of time.
Under the wire.
Under the wire, Asa Hutchinson, who is the former governor of Arkansas, and he has indicated he will go after Trump on the debate stage and is one of the few Republican candidates not to dismiss Trump's criminal indictments, calling recent charges connected to Trump's effort to overturn the election, quote, serious.
Wow.
And literally, I could not find a fun fact about this human being. There's no fun facts about Asa Hutchinson. Basically, the fun only thing, he's had 100 jury trials. That's about all I could find about him.
He was also best friends with Mary Poppins.
I'll give him credit. At least he's willing to say something against the January 6th.
Fair enough. All right, well, we've still got to play the game when we come back because we got some predictions ahead. So Todd Elba is here. Greg Bach is here. Jane is on the board. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, live in the Deer District with Greg Bach and Mr. Todd Elba. Jane Matinera is in the studio in Waukesha, and we're live here all day in the Deer District just trying to stay cool.
And beautiful whitetail Milwaukee.
In whitetail Milwaukee. I think everyone was like, how dressed up do I have to be today? And it's like, just stay, beat the heat.
Pants. Just wear pants.
Yes, exactly. All right, well, I wanted to, in the last segment, we went through the eight candidates who are here. Trump is obviously not here, but, you know, we got a lot of fun facts about Trump. That was okay. But I wanted to go through and get your three votes on some of the, you know, most likelies. We all know most likelies from our high school days. Most likely to be successful, most likely to be a model. Did you win most likely for anything, Todd? Or if you would have won, what would you have won for?
No, I did. I'm trying to think what it was. Something about just being goofy, like most likely to, I don't know, appear on Johnny Carson as a goofball. Okay. Something like that. Yeah, right. I don't know.
What about you, Greg?
No.
Oh, it was most likely to be a stripper.
Because, that makes sense. That tracks.
Because I did a simple thing during when we played the stripper during pep band.
Tasteful?
Yes. I mean, well, I kept my pants on.
Did you hear our story about the NIL deal that the
Yes, I talked about it. I'm extraordinarily jealous, and I'm jealous because I think it's a great idea, and I wanted to find, like, I was thinking about we find a golfer for Civic Media, and we do an NIL deal, like, for some, you know, and Quick Trip out did us. I mean, picking a person from the Badger band, that's fantastic.
Why who plays golf? The mellophone?
What does Civic Media and golf have to do with
it? I was trying to think about the person that would cost us the least.
Oh, fair.
To get an NIL deal.
We should get an NIL deal with a debate squad person at UW-Madison.
Jane, did you win any most likely awards?
Actress.
Wow.
That tracks.
I mean, I did win awards, but I didn't get most likely nomination. Oh, okay. So.
All right. So if you can keep all eight nominees in your head.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to just go through, power through some of these, and all three of you can weigh in on who you think is the most likely to do that thing.
Fantastic.
Tonight.
Do that thing you do.
All right. Most likely to talk first.
DeSantis.
Christie.
I'll go with Christie.
Okay. Most likely to get the most beat up on, you know, metaphorically.
Let's say it on three, folks. One, two, three. DeSantis.
I think Trump.
Oh.
You think Trump will get beat up the most? More than DeSantis? I feel like everyone's coming after DeSantis.
That's going to be the turning point for tonight, right? If no one beats up on Trump, then they should do this at the end. They should all announce that they've dropped out and endorsed him.
And genuflect?
And genuflect.
And say, please make me your VP nomination.
Right.
All right. Most likely to get the best one-liner.
Oh, Christie.
Agreed.
He's the smartest of the eight.
Yeah, Christie.
Christie?
Yep.
All right. Most likely to say Trump's name the most, whether that's good or bad.
Nikki Haley.
Ramaswamy.
Yeah, I think Nikki Haley or Pence.
I say Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy, Pence, Nikki Haley.
Okay.
Most likely to say woke the most.
DeSantis. He's going to change his name.
Or Vivek. He wrote a whole book about anti-wokeness.
He's a DeSantis wannabe.
Yeah, DeSantis is the original anti-woker.
All
yeah,
right.
Agreed.
Most likely to end his closing statements.
Or her.
With a rap.
Okay. All right.
The small D. Not
Hutchinson. Yeah. Hutchinson. Hutchinson. Absolutely Hutchinson.
Absolutely Asa.
That would be a reason to tune in tonight.
I'm from North Dakota, I'd like to say. I want to be the president in a major way. Boom.
I think you mixed up Burgum.
That's Burgum. Yeah.
Burgum's from North Dakota.
Whatever. I don't care. They don't matter after tonight.
Most likely to call DeSantis Ron DeSanctimonious.
Nobody.
I don't think
you
anyone.
Don't think anybody will.
No.
I think.
You think
anyone
will call him D?
I think. I think Ramaswamy might do it just to be funny, but I don't think any of them will.
Okay. Most likely to have a fly land on his head.
Wouldn't it be great if Mike Pence did that?
Yeah. It's just, I know it's scientifically impossible, but the same fly. Or a descendant. Like,
I'm tracking you.
This is from my great grandfather.
All right. Most likely to break into a sweat first.
Ron DeSantis.
More than Christie?
I think
Christie's already sweating. This is too hot. He is not built for this kind of heat.
I guess there's two definitions of sweat here. There's heat sweat and nerve sweat. I think DeSantis is nerve sweat. Christie is heat sweat.
Probably Todd? True. Ramaswamy maybe a close second for nervous sweat. Because he's not a politician. He's never been on this kind of a stage before.
And it is different.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen business. Like, look at it. Like, Bloomberg just fell on his face in 2020, right?
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple minutes left. So, most likely to throw a temper tantrum.
DeSantis.
For sure.
DeSantis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only person who is more thin-skinned than Ron DeSantis is Donald Trump.
Well said,
Jane.
Yeah. Well said.
Most likely to have the most outrageous solution for a societal problem.
Ramaswamy.
I think Mike Pence, because he's going to be the one who said a national abortion ban, and that to me is craziness.
Yeah. I'm going with Pence.
Okay. Most likely to have the most awkward moment of the night.
DeSantis.
For sure.
I think DeSantis is the over-under. I think he is the leader, but I think if we're going to play the odds, I think that Nikki Haley is going to do something dumb, too, just because I don't like her. And I want to see her fall on her face as well.
I think Burgum says something. He's a governor. He hasn't really done much federal stuff. He'll forget the name of a federal agency or something like that.
All right. Well,
I want to shut down the school board. What?
We only got a couple minutes left. Any other bold predictions for tonight's debate?
Trump comes down from the top. They're holding on with the blimp, and he's just going to be holding coupons. Like, he doesn't talk. He's just holding, like, cousin's coupons, and he drops
them. He's
holding Kohl's cash. He just drops them on the audience, and then he leaves, and everyone is absolutely insane with questions, and he's gone.
Todd, you got any predictions?
Brett Baer will take off his mask, and it will actually be Tucker Carlson.
Oh, and then take off that one. It's a lizard person.
Underneath. Jane, you got any predictions?
DeSantis is out by Monday.
That is a hot take. Nicely done, Jane. That's good.
We're all here being silly billies, and you're just like,
wow.
Done. Slitting throats, as he said. Right. Take his words, slitting throats.
Oh.
All right. Well, thank you to everyone who called in today, everyone who texted.
This was so fun.
Thank you to our engineers. Derek Mosley. Thank you to our engineers who are working overtime, extra time, so hard to make all of this possible today. But this is just the first show. We got one done. We got Town Call coming up next, still live from the Deer District. I'll be back at 6 p.m. tonight to co-host with Mr. Todd Elba for our pregame coverage. But until you hear from me, stick around for all of our civic media coverage for the day. And come back again tomorrow at 10 a.m. when we'll be back in studio. And this has been As Goes Wisconsin.
My love would be your food. Yeah, you don't. Yes.